WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Let's call this Thanksgiving Sunday. What a wonderful week that so many Americans we look forward to. It is an awesome time. Now our kids have been out of school for a while, so they're starting to get a little squirrely. But Thanksgiving is certainly time for us to come together and forget about the policy uncertainty index that we've been talking about here on Money Matters for several weeks. We don't worry about, at least for a couple of hours or a couple of days, we can maybe forget about, hey, slower economic growth, U.S.-China trade war, all the things that maybe around the dinner table that eventually you're talking about the economy, the stock market, and then you maybe go back to politics. And then you get into infighting, and I don't know how many families are just down one side of the aisle. Mine certainly is not, and there's voices from all over the place, family from Pennsylvania and Michigan. Of course, I'm always looking for a break when the conversation comes up about politics. And I go back to something that I think we can all agree about. And maybe in America, that all is a word that doesn't necessarily exist, or at least most of us can agree upon. And that is the desire to increase our longevity, increase our happiness, improve our lives. Of course, I'm talking about the theory and philosophy behind Blue Zones. One of my favorite interviews I've done, did in 2019 with author Dan Buettner, who effectively has reverse engineered by studying demographics and going around the world, reverse engineered longevity. And it's a fascinating interview that I'm going to bring you today here on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Some of it has to do with money, but the perspective of today's interview with Dan Buettner, again, National Geographic researcher, the author of Blue Zones and multiple books about blue zones, five places around the world where people live the longest and really the happiest in most cases. But much of the perspective of today's interview, yes, it has something to do with finances. But it's more to do with living well with what we have and what you have. Interestingly, the misery index is at an all-time low. The misery index is the inflation rate plus the unemployment rate. We've tracked this going all the way back into the 1950s. It peaked in the late 1970s. It was bad in the financial crisis and got worse and worse because of the unemployment rate and inflation. Today, it's at an all-time low. As you can imagine, if the combination of the unemployment rate, which is bad, inflation which is technically bad if it's really high, if those two numbers together is lower today than we've seen historically, that's a good thing here in the United States. But we're still in a time of political divide. And I wanted to bring here on this Thanksgiving week up a topic that we can all kind of rally together. And that's about living longer, healthier, happier lives. It's also interesting that in America, we face, I think, is a crisis of connectedness. And we live in a world with a plethora of social media and digital friends. And I'm just as guilty of this as anybody, posting on Instagram. By the way, if you want to follow me on Instagram, Wes Moss Money Matters. But if you want to see pictures of my kids and dogs, really. But really, our real-life friends, again, this is as Americans, has dwindled over the past three decades. It's gone from close to three close friends in America back in the 1980s. So on average, Americans had three close friends, people you would confide in, good things and bad. And that average is down to 1.7 today. So we're living in a time that I would call this a crisis of connectedness despite our digital interwoven lives. Dan Buettner, I think, is an antidote to that and can help us refocus back on the things that are so important, which is our social connectedness, our happiness, our longevity, this Blue Zones way of living that we've talked about here on the show. I think it is a wonderful message for the happy retiree. First, Dan, if someone has never been introduced to the Blue Zones concept about longevity and the Blue Zones concept around happiness, can you just give us our audience a brief overview of your work?
So my specialty at National Geographic has been to identify an extraordinary population, extraordinary populations that have achieved outcomes that we want, either in longevity or the latest work was in happiness, and then reverse engineer it. So the first Blue Zone book, we spent 2.5 years with demographers whose specialty is finding populations where people have the highest life expectancy or the highest centenarian rate or the lowest rate of middle-aged mortality, which means at, you know, when you're 40 and 50, you have the best chance of reaching a healthy age 90 or 95. So once you find those populations, because we know only about 10% of how long you live is dictated by your genes, we know that these people possess something, they're doing something right that's making them manifestly longer lived. And we also know by measuring their telomeres, their DNA in a sense, that they're biologically younger at every decade. And this isn't a test tube. It's not theoretic. It's not, you know, some supplement hocus pocus. These are real populations who've achieved the outcomes that we want. And then the second wave of work involved recruiting a team of mostly medical experts who could go into these populations and identify the common denominators. The end result is a number of lessons that we can take away to help us live, get the most good years out of life and the most life out of our years. And by the way, you know, in America, poor health is costing our country about $17 trillion a year, $3.7 trillion a year. And health is really money these days. So investing in your health is really, you know, as important as investing in your retirement fund.
When you originally set out on this project, was it the demographics conference, or was it National Geographic or was it you that said, here are these five places around the world, and let's just talk about those five places for a minute. And where were they for our listener audience? And then what did they essentially have in common?
So I originally got the idea and then got funding from the National Institutes on Aging to hire the demographers. And then once I identified these places, I took the idea to National Geographic and they embraced it and really provided the funding for the second half of the work. But so the longest lived women in the world live in Okinawa, Japan, about 800 miles south of Tokyo. The longest lived men live in the highlands of Sardinia, an area called the Nuoro province, about 10 times more male centenarians there than you'd expect to see in the United States.
10 times.
In Ikaria, Greece, which is near Turkey, you have an island of 10,000 people that are living about 8 years longer than Americans do, but largely without dementia, which makes them extraordinary.
Wow.
And then Nicoya Peninsula, Costa Rica. This was from previously where the Contras lived. You have an area here there where a 50-year-old is about three times more likely to reach a healthy age 95 than an American would. And they do so spending about 1/15 the amount we do on healthcare. And then in the United States, the longest lived population is among the Seventh-day Adventists, the highest concentration of whom live around Loma Linda, California. And they're living about 10 years longer than their Californian counterpart. So in all these places, people, and by the way, the type of longevity they have is nothing magical. What they're doing that the rest of us are not is eluding the diseases that foreshorten our lives. They're not getting cancer. They're not getting heart disease or diabetes or dementia at near the rates that the rest of us are. So my job was to figure out how, and that was the result were the Blue Zones books that I've been writing.
Well, and that first, this is your idea and then funded and backed by National Geographic. And you went around and you interviewed hundreds of folks in these places and tried to link them together. And then, so what I think maybe we start with I think a good summary of that is that I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the power nine are the move naturally and purpose and downshift that link these five communities together. So let's maybe just start with the power nine is a great way to tell our audience a little bit more about the linkage, the common denominator that helps people around the world in these blue zones live the longest, really have the highest life expectancy or the highest percentage of centenarians on the planet, which is amazing to me.
Yeah. So, you know, they're vastly different cultures. You have Asia, Latin America, Europe, North America. So I was really interested in what are the things that you see in common in all these blue zones. You know, I labeled it Power Nine. It was sort of a fun way to put a name on some serious research. But no matter where you go, when people live a long time, they are moving every 20 minutes or so. So they're not running marathons or doing triathlons or pumping iron, but they do garden. Every time they go to work or a friend's house, they're walking. Their house is not full of electronic mechanized conveniences. So the point is they're keeping their metabolisms running at a higher rate every day without thinking about it, as opposed to sort of the folly that we Americans subscribe to, that we can sit in our office all day long and then think we're going to spend 20 minutes in the gym or half hour in the gym at the end of the day and make up for it. That's not how we work, and that we know that doesn't work. The other thing is, you know, they're eating mostly a plant-based diet, which is a real revelation for me. They, of course, do eat a little bit of meat, but it's usually a celebratory food. It's usually a wedding or a birthday or a Sunday after church or something. Lunar New Year, but their day-to-day food consumption was mostly, and get this, the four things that you see in all blue zones when it comes to food. They're eating greens, whole grains, nuts, and beans. About a cup of beans every day, which is probably adding up to an extra 4 years of life expectancy.
Dan, hold that thought for a second. We're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back with Dan Buettner, who is the godfather of the longevity secrets of people that live the longest around the world. They're called Blue Zones, and he has written a series of books based on these Blue Zones. His latest is Blue Zones Kitchen, but we're going to come back and talk about the Power Nine, what links these populations and their longevity together. And then we're going to talk about happiness. So stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Wes Moss, your host here, and interviewing my favorite author, Dan Buettner, who's the author of the Blue Zone, several Blue Zones books, Lessons for Living Longer from People Who Lived the Longest. Dan, we're talking through the Power Nine, Move Naturally. It was one of the first here. And then now we're talking about diet plant, this plant slant, number five, and then wine at five. Can you talk us through that piece of the equation?
Yeah, so if you look at 155 dietary studies done over the past 100 years in these blue zones, you see that about 95% of what they put in their mouth are whole foods, plant and plant-based. And they eat a little bit of meat on average about five times a month. But really, if there were a secret longevity food that everybody should be eating, it would be beans, about a cup of beans a day. And to your question about wine, they all drink, all five of the blue zones. People drink on average 2 to 3 drinks a day, but there's one type of wine we found in the highlands of Sardinia, highest levels of artery-scrubbing polyphenols in the world, and it's called Cannonau. It's made from a Grenache grape, and it's very, very red. All of the antioxidants, by the way, are in the pigment of the grape. So the redder the wine, as a rule, the healthier it's going to be for your heart. This one has the highest levels of polyphenols in the world, about three times higher than any other known wine. And we think it probably contributes to the extraordinary longevity of these Sardinian men.
What about now a couple of caveats with drinking? One, about drinking with friends. And then can you save up, Dan, and take one or two glasses of wine and then, you know, have a couple big nights in a week?
People actually ask me that. Yeah, so if you look 2 to 3 drinks a night, and I know you cannot save up and have 21 on the weekend. But the way you see it, wine consumed in Sardinia, there'll be a small glass at lunch, another small glass with friends at 5, and then another small glass with dinner. And by the way, if you're consuming a glass of wine with a Blue Zone meal, which is, to say, a plant-based meal, you're probably about tripling the absorption of the antioxidant. So there's actually an argument that as long as you're eating plant-based, a glass of wine might even be better than a glass of water with a meal. Isn't to say if you're not drinking now, you shouldn't start drinking, but if you are, that's probably good news.
Can you find this wine? Pronounce it again. It's Cannonau.
Cannonau, Cannonau.
Can you find wine? Can we find Cannonau in the United States?
Yeah. If you go to a Whole Foods, for example, you'll be able to find it there. Yeah, or a specialty wine shop. And by the way, because it hasn't been marketed, it's relatively cheap for the price. Like, you know, you can kind of compare it to a Barolo, which is a deep red, but you can get it for about a third the price of a Barolo.
Something
nobody's ever heard of it.
Something that our Money Matters listeners, a third of the price for 4 times the antioxidants is something that the Money Matters audience is going to love. We're going to run to a quick break, and we're back with Dan Buettner, the author of The Blue Zone, Solutions and Everything Blue Zones Around the Planet. Stay tuned for more.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm here with Dan Buettner, my favorite author, who I want to say, but back in, was it the year 2000? When did you first publish Blue Zones, Lessons for Living Longer from the People Who Lived the Longest?
2008.
So it's 2008. Okay. So it has been, call it a little over a decade that this, I mean, is life more fun right now that you've been able to talk? Let's go through the Power Nine. And I want to ask about number 2 on the list is purpose. And I know that I've seen other interviews with you, and now a big part of your sense of purpose is to spread this message and your work, which is, I think, so incredibly important for folks to listen to. But tell us about this sense of, your sense of purpose, and maybe what the Okinawans say about their sense of purpose.
So as a rule, sense of purpose is that intersection between what you like to do, what your passions are, what you're good at, and an outlet for it. And I believe there's also an important service element to true purpose. So if you're not giving back in some way, it's probably not a meaningful sense of purpose. In Blue Zones, you see this, you mentioned the Okinawans, they have this word ikigai, which is roughly the reason for which I wake up in the morning. And by the way, they have no word in the Okinawan dialect for retirement. Instead, this responsibility purpose concept drives their entire adult life. And we know from very good studies in the United States that people who can articulate their sense of purpose, their ikigai, live about 8 years longer than people who are rudderless. So if you could put purpose in a capsule, it would be a blockbuster drug.
It really would. And how about for you, though, is how much of your sense of purpose is tied to the research that and the Blue Zone communities that you've helped get going?
Well, as you point, I've been a lifelong explorer, and I'm very clear what I'm good at is going out into the world, finding a traditional people, and distilling their wisdom and their lessons for the rest of us. If I had to sum mine up, that would be mine. But, you know, part of it, my way, I guess, of sort of giving back, and I had a great editor at National Geographic, Peter Miller, who taught me this. But, you know, if the expeditions you're doing now aren't somehow making the human condition better, they're probably just stunts. And since about 2009, I've been working with cities, now about 50 cities throughout the United States. and helping them adopt Blue Zone principles at the population level. And we started with Albert Lea, Minnesota, 2009, and we helped them lower their healthcare costs by 40%. And most recently, and you can Google NBC Nightly News or CNN, we just helped Fort Worth, Texas, about 1 million people, lower their obesity rate, childhood obesity, and their smoking rate, which will save that city about $250 million a year. And again, that is taking wisdom from places like Sardinia and Okinawa and putting it to work in America.
How many years did it take to see some of these Blue Zone habits and the impact on a place like in a big city in Texas? How long did it take?
Well, first of all, the Blue Zones approach, we don't think we're going to collectively get 1 million people to change their habits. That's delusional. But we can make the environment such that the defaults, the healthy choices, the easy choice, or the unavoidable choice. And we do that at the policy level and at restaurants, grocery stores, workplaces, schools, and churches. And it takes us about 5 years to put it in place and get it up working. But after you get it in place, because they're long-term interventions, they continue to accrue dividends to cities. You know, we're no longer working as actively in Fort Worth, Texas, but the streets are more walkable and bikeable and safer for kids. You can no longer smoke in restaurants and bars, which is helping drive the smoking rate down. The food deserts in Fort Worth now offer fruits and vegetables, so poor people have better access to healthier food. That will last for the indefinite future, and we expect to continue to see obesity drop and people's reported life satisfaction increase in Fort Worth for the foreseeable future.
Now, this is so much what Dan is referring to, and if you're just tuning in, this is Dan Buettner, who is the author of the Blue Zones concept that as a writer, explorer, adventurer for National Geographic, figured out the five places on the planet where people live the longest and effectively reverse engineered those habits into his original book, The Blue Zones, Lessons for Living Longer from People Who Live the Longest. And we're going through this Power Nine, but there's also, I want to transition to and talk about happiness. If we talk about the number seven, which is the sense of belonging, and then our loved ones and the right tribe, and I want you to get into that. But I've read different works of yours that comes back to certain cities are set up. To your point, we can't just have new habits because we'll eventually ditch them. We have to have a community that almost our way of life is perpetuates and facilitates these habits move naturally and so forth. What do you see in, if we were to talk about that for a minute here, what are these communities? What are, let's start with sense of belonging and what that means for the communities and why it helps people live longer.
Yeah. So we know that if you're lonely, which is to say that you don't have at least three friends who you can call up and count on a bad day, for example, be able to borrow money from them. If you don't have at least three friends that are that good, it's as bad for your health as a smoking habit. Shaves about 8 years off of your life expectancy. So a couple of our strategies in Blue Zone cities, we know that if a street has a sidewalk, wide sidewalk that invites outdoor cafes and older people getting out, that a lot of social interaction happens spontaneously, unplanned, by just bumping into people. We learned this strategy in Okinawa called a moai. So when our team is in a city, we will build thousands of these committed social circles where we find people who share interests and values, and we organize them around walking and eating plant-based meals together. So it's very easy, you know, it's something everybody does. And we've had astounding success at helping lonely people connect with other lonely people, and everybody then lives longer. And to your point about happiness, you know, I did this book, Blue Zones of Happiness, and a cover story for National Geographic. one of the most dependable ways to get happier is spend more time socializing. The happiest people in the world are socializing 6 to 7 hours a day.
Face to face, right? This is not that social media doesn't count. Phone, FaceTime doesn't count. Face to face contact, right? And also, what is it? Describe again the concept of a moai.
So you see it in, by the way, it originally occurred in Okinawa because there weren't banks. So 4 or 5 friends got together and sort of shook hands and said, we're going to hang out. And by the way, if we need money to buy seed for our fields, we're going to count on each other to, you know, borrow money in times of need. But now they've morphed into, it boils down to essentially a committed social network. So through life, these pods of 4 or 5 people, travel together metaphorically, and they have each other's back in times of difficulty. And in times of prosperity, they share. And, you know, the best story I had was I found 5 women who belonged to the same moai. Their average age was 102 years old, and they still get together every night, drink sake, you know, gossip, argue about who the hot guy liked best back in 1941. they stayed young and they cared for each other. And when you look at America in contrast, in the 1980s, the average American had 3 good friends they could count on a bad day. We're now down to about 1.7. So as we implode into our electronics and move farther out into the suburbs, we're getting lonelier. And not coincidentally, for the last 3 years, life expectancy for Americans has dropped.
We have gone from 3 close friends on average in the 1980s down to 1.7.
Correct.
Talk about average. Talk about the impact of social media. Wow. I don't know if that's social media. I don't know what that is, but you would think that we're even more connected. And the research now shows that we're less connected or less tight social relationships than we've ever had. That is concern. That's concerning.
I'll give you a litmus test, and I'm going to address this question to the business travelers in your audience. When's the last time that the person sitting next to you up in business class or even coach turned to you and said a word? You know, now everybody has their Bose headphones on, and they're buried in their electronics or the movie in front of them. It used to be 15 years ago, you know, you at least said hi to the person next to you and made some conversation. So we're changing, and the lessons from the Blue Zone will suggest that we're headed in the wrong direction when it comes to social connectedness.
You know, I remember thinking back when I was let's go back 20, even 30 years ago. You're right. When you'd get on a plane, you would chit chat. Now I'm guilty of this because I just want to put my headphones in and not chit chat with anybody, which I'm going to change that after this interview, by the way. And then you go back 20, 30 years, you used to hear people meeting on planes that started dating and got married. Today, yeah. I think it's impossible. It's nobody talks to anybody.
Here's my anecdote to that. If I ever meet you on the airplane, I always say the following. I say, hi, my name is Dan Buettner. How are you? And they'll look at me and they'll always say, well, how are you? And I say, I'm feeling in a very chatty mood. And I can't wait to travel with you.
That's awesome.
They get this look of complete terror. And then I say, just kidding.
I'm doing that from now on. All right. Well, when we get back, I had mentioned, and we started in this, and then we got on another track about belonging in the Moai. But I want to talk about happy cities. I've looked at your list of, this is a Gallup, it sounds like a partnership you have with Gallup. We talk about happy cities. And I want to go through some thoughts about being close to your loved ones, also on the Power 9, number 8 on the Power 9. And what a happy, what a really happiness looks like and what cities can help to do to facilitate that. More with Dan Buettner right here on Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Stay tuned. More with Dan Buettner straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Your host, Wes Moss, here with Dan Buettner, author of The Blue Zones Concept, the five places that people live the longest around the world. And also, Dan has studied happiness as part of this. Dan, let's talk about some of the cities. And you talk about what is happiness? It's life satisfaction. Are you experiencing your life? Do you have a sense of purpose? And then how did you look at cities around the globe in relation to how happy the population is?
Yeah, so Gallup gathers very good data on life satisfaction and how we actually experience our life. And with National Geographic and ShareCare, I convinced them to control for ethnicity, age, and income. So, as a rule, if you're white, old, and rich, you're going to be happier. So we took those variables out of the equation, mm-hmm. and then we listed the cities that are the happiest. And this is cities. We had 15 different metrics that included how physically fit they are, how good they feel about their job, how good they feel socially, how satisfied they are with their lives. And the number one was, and I wrote about this in National Geographic magazine, the number one was Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder. And then some of the other top 10, what did they really have in common? Is it a very active, walkable place to live with decent weather? Or is that something that tied these together?
And that's part of it. Weather doesn't make much of a difference at all, actually, because we adapt to weather. But here's the big secret. In every place, not only in the Americas, but in the world, where you have happy population, it's always because sometime in the past, usually 50 to 75 years ago, civic leaders shifted their focus from just economic development to adopting policies that would specifically favor quality of life. So you take San Luis Obispo. About 40 years ago, a mayor got elected and noticed that the streets were clogged with traffic and sidewalks were narrow and people weren't connecting. So he went to work at routing streets outside of routing the highway outside of town, getting rid of billboards. Nobody likes billboards. Investing in a Thursday night farmers market where everybody can come together and celebrate around healthy food and physical activity. And every city's a little bit different on what they're going to like, but as a rule, there's a very clear bundle of policies that are going to favor quality of life, and it's leaders who are focused on them and not just on making, trying to juice the local economy, which often happens at the expense of people's health and well-being, but really focus on humans and not just business.
I love it, man. Well, thank you so much. Safe travels. And I really appreciate your time today here on the show. Thank you so much for tuning in to Money Matters. Find the full interview from today and then find our team, the Money Matters team, throughout the week at wesmoss.com. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here, 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk.